Beg pardon, kind carolers, but might you have knowledge of the toy shop owner's whereabouts?
Although 'tis the Christmas season, the Fedgewicks are all in prison. The mortgage, it was the reason, said old miser Tannen.
Tannen? But what of the beautiful female customer?
That lady, she was arrested for Tannen, her mettle tested. His hand on her cheek he rested, and she punched his ticket.
What a spouse! And the boys?
A thief picked the elder's pocket, chased off like a blazing rocket. The fob, he'll probably hock it, though we might be mistaken.
Keys to the DeLorean. I should have never given Jules that responsibility.
Any idea where we can find this pickpocket and lose the tune, bub?
Okay, Mac. His name's Reg, and he hangs out at the Hog's Head Tavern.
I must go after the boys myself. You'll find out about Clara.
I hope you know what you're doing, Doc.
Back to the Future is my favorite thing. Always talk about it and write songs to sing. Even though there was never a part four, Marty McFly is coming back for more. I don't make money, get no fame. Love for these characters is what I blame. Podcast about comics and cartoons and more, 'cause there's still things to explore in Marty McFly 4. It's Marchy McFly 4. Can you feel it?
It's back to the future Christmas. It's back to the future Christmas. It's back to the future Christmas here on Marchy McFly.
Merry Marchy McFly, everybody, and welcome back. It is March 12th, which means it is day 12 of year 4 of Marchy McFly, and I'm coming to you a little later tonight, as you may have heard yesterday. I went to a college basketball game this evening. My brother is a graduate of Merrimack College, and their basketball team was, the men's basketball team was in the NEC championship, the tournament championship, and if they won that game, they would have gone to the big NCAA, the big tournament. If they had won, they did not. They did not win. The game was on ESPN2. I was like, oh, cool. There's it's not a big arena. It's like in a hockey rink. You know, it's a nice place. They put on a nice, the way they present the game. But when you see it on TV, it makes the place look bigger, and it's not a big arena, but it was fun. It was a fun atmosphere, but they didn't win. They didn't win. I went with my brother and his two kids, previous contributors to Marchy McFly. They put in, little brief, I think Marchy McFly 2, they did an intro for one of the episodes. But I mentioned, I'm Doc Brown goes, the blah, blah, blah. My nephew goes, who's Doc Brown? And the look I gave him was one of, it was equal parts pain and anguish. But I said to him, buddy, what month is it? He's like, oh yeah, Marty McFly. I want to say it's Marchy McFly. But yes, Marty McFly is the character in the movie. And then my brother said, oh, that's a movie we haven't seen yet. And again, it hurts. Because my niece is 13, my nephew is 11. I feel like at this time, it is the perfect time for them to see this movie. And I hope, if the timing are right, because I've told them the stories. Like, I literally have told them the time-traveling boy was the story that I told them one night, babysitting them. I hope someday I'm able to watch it with them. That would be fun. That would be fun indeed. But, alas, I'm not here to talk about my niece and nephew who haven't seen the greatest movie ever. I'm not here to talk about college basketball and the unfortunate ending for the Merrimack College men's basketball squad. I'm here because Back to the Future, the animated series, went out and did a Christmas episode. So it's 1991, and it's the holiday season, as on November 23rd, right before, or maybe right after Thanksgiving, right around the Thanksgiving season, which is really when Christmas starts kicking in these United States, Back to the Future, the animated series, put out its 10th episode, Dickens of a Christmas. Now, I have seen this episode released as its own video. Now, I don't know if it's DVD or on VHS, but they actually put this out as its own thing. So I don't know, were they trying to make something that could be a lasting Christmas special? Did they try to put this out as a Christmas special and not just a Christmas episode of the series? I don't know if it's definitely not classic enough to be a Christmas special that's on every year, but for this series, I was pleasantly surprised by this episode, and I think it might be the best one so far. Again, not a high bar with these things, but still, I quite kind of enjoyed it. Does that make any sense? I'm not sure if that makes any sense. As I said, this aired November 23rd, 1991, directed by John Hayes. All the Johns again. John Hayes. Written by John Loy, John Luden, and Rick Cunningham. I don't know why he didn't change his name to John, but that's his prerogative. He can do what he wants to do. It's his prerogative. Okay, tell you why. Okay, now I'm losing it. I'm getting into this, into a Bobby Brown hole. That doesn't sound right when you say it that quick. But I'm going to switch back to the Future talk and focus on that. So this episode, let's get right into it. It opens up. Now, at one moment, I thought, okay, Christopher Lloyd's not even in this episode. He mailed in he phoned in a voiceover, and they just used the body double because the video, the episode opens up on the DeLorean, which again makes you think, when did... Like, what is this DeLorean? We saw the DeLorean smashed to smithereens by that train. Now, I guess technically, no, see, I was going to say Doc could go back 5 minutes earlier and tell them to not do the, he could have done it again. Like, maybe what we saw was, you know, version A of the timeline. Then Doc goes back and says, Marty, get this stupid train off the tracks right away or go back 5 minutes earlier. And then... I don't know how it would work. Or he just picked up all the parts and rebuilt it. Because this TV show is... I know it's not canon, but I'm making it canon for the sake of Marty McFly. This TV show is showing a perfectly good working DeLorean. And I loved in the comic book where he went and bought a used DeLorean. But it shows... I should say, not a perfectly good working DeLorean, but a DeLorean. Why do I say that? Because Doc Brown is underneath the DeLorean. He's working on it. All we see is his legs. We hear Christopher Lloyd, but all we see is his legs. and he's working on something. He's like, oh, he, you know, there's an issue. Smoke starts coming out, and he's like, I wish I never, sometimes I wish I never invented this time machine. He goes, but then again, if I didn't, then I wouldn't ever be able to go back in time before there were even cars to exist that existed. Which reminds me of a time that we went back to jolly old England, blah, blah, blah. So we cut to the episode. And it is, I don't know, the middle of July. But according to Gordo's blowtorch repair service, that's the name of the thermos that Doc Brown has. According to that thermos, it is, I don't know, 1,000 degrees. The thermos actually blows up. It is so hot that they're just getting on each other's nerves. Vern is trying to steal cookies. Doc is yelling at him while hanging upside down. Clara comes in, and I made this comment about Clara last time, where why is she always wearing the same outfit? And of course, the very next episode, she's wearing a different outfit. She's wearing like a, almost like a gardening dress with an apron and a gardening hat, because she's outside working in the yard. She comes in. Doc Brown is upside down on the ceiling, testing, I don't know, magic shoes, and he's made footprints everywhere, like classic cartoon footprints, like they look like an exclamation point, kind of. She's all pissed at that. She's like, you need to clean the ceiling while you're up there. But he's working on, oh, maybe he's working on an air conditioning up there. I don't know. Jules, meanwhile, takes an egg out. And he's like, I went to have an egg, but it's already hard-boiled. And it shows the chicken. For some reason, he has a chicken inside a little birdcage. The chicken is, like, overheating, so that's not good. Einstein comes in. He's trying to cool down. Everyone's trying to cool down. They start getting on each other's nerves. Marty shows up. They start screaming at each other. And Clara finally says to Doc, if only it wasn't as hot as the Dickens. And Doc says, that's it. Your mother has pinpointed the cause of and the solution in one concise, worn-out cliche. And then that's when he decides, hey, everybody, let's go back to the time of Charles Dickens. England, 1845. They don't waste any time. They get right to England, and I'm guessing, I believe it's December 24th, 1845, Christmas Eve. They show up right away, and we see just all kinds of, you know, Dickensian folk dressed in Dickensian outfits. I mean, it looks like an animated version of A Muppet Christmas Carol. I don't even know, like, that's my, you know, complete knowledge of Dickens' work is, you know, Kermit as Bob Cratchit. After all, there's only one more sleep till Christmas. So we see people singing all kinds of Christmas carols. I mean, everything looks right out of the cliche, but then they're singing like currents, like about what's going on. And then they see a flying car and they're like, we can't believe what we just saw. They show up, they pose using the holographic machine, and boom, they all are dressed perfectly in their Dickensian outfit. Doc is wearing a cool top hat. Very cool. He tells Jules, hey, you hold on to my watch, which holds the key to the DeLorean. Okay, that's like, I don't know, that's the first time we've worried about a key. But the kids run off. Clara and Emmett are like, oh, this is so romantic. Marty looks over a roof and finds a young woman that he finds attractive. And then he falls off the building, plummeting to his death. Oh, nope. I'm sorry. He didn't die. He hits the ground and he's completely fine because of the cartoon. He goes into this place called Fedgwick Toys, tries to pick up this girl who smacks him like right away. Boom. Marty, excuse me if I'm incorrect, but isn't Jennifer at home? And what are you doing here with this strange woman? From another time, you're trying to, you know, pick her up. Not very good. Not very good at all. So they go inside, the rest of the family, and Doc loves all these toys. He goes, I used to play with this, a toy just like this. And he's like, what do you mean? I just invented it. He's like, oh, yes, that's what I mean. He goes inside. The kids stay outside. And that's when a Oliver Twist type kid comes up and steals their wallet, or steals the key. The key and the watch. He's a little pickpocket. He's like, you know, he's like, I'm a pickpocket, I am, governor. Oh, here we go, brother. I'm going to steal your wallet and I'm going to steal your pocket watch and your key to your DeLorean, even though I don't know what a DeLorean is. So once they get their pockets picked, the kids run after the kid. Doc sees it. He's like, jumping jingle bells, instead of his jumping gigawatts that he's trying to turn into a catchphrase. Him and Marty leave Clara behind at the toy store. They're on off to chase the kids who are chasing the pickpocket because, of course, they have the keys. And who shows up in the toy store but Ebenezer Tannen. I thought it was Ebenezer, but I think it's Ebenezer Tannen shows up. It's Tom Wilson. It's another Tannen in England, because Tannen, there must be one, like, we're going to find out that Jesus' last name was Jesus Tannen. And, well, no, he didn't have the kids. I guess it depends on what movie. Give me someone in the Bible who had lots of kids. His name was like Moses Tannen. Hello, I have 10 commandments and 11 children. So he shows up and starts trying to pick up on Clara, who slaps him right in the face. And he's like, oh, I don't like you at all. So he's angry about that. The kids chase the pickpocket up into an attic where there is another dude. What's this guy's name? Murdoch, I think. I think Reg is the name of the kid, and Murdoch is the name of the guy who organizes the pickpockets. Give him a place to stay as long as he steals for him. He ties the kids up. And then I guess the kid lets them go, or Marty and Doc, they're like trying to figure out what's going on. And then that's when you get the singers that I played the clip at the beginning. They start saying that, the kids are off being, they were taken by the pickpocketer, and your wife has been put in debtor's prison by Biff. Wait, what? Ebenezer. What? Yeah, because the next thing we see, Clara's in prison. She's in prison with someone, and there's this old guy who goes, I've been here since I was wrinkly without any teeth when I was a baby. Like, that's a funny joke. Some good-looking cartoon drawings in this. If you just look at the montage of weird people, it looks almost like a bunch of Muppets. But she's in prison because she, you know, rebuffed Ebenezer. They go in. They need some help, so they head over to a. They're looking for the pickpocket. I'm sorry, Doc's looking for the pickpocket. Maudie went off to look for Clara. So Doc went, and Einstein went to a bar that they were told you can go find someone there. And they pay someone handsomely, just tell me where to find this pickpocket guy. So meanwhile, the pickpocketer is the main guy, is putting the kids to work out in the streets. They don't do very well. And all of a sudden the cops are chasing them. So they run off. Meanwhile, Marty goes to the prison. He's like, hey, is Clara Brown in there? Can you please let her out? He's like, we've never let anybody out, ever. He's like, okay, I know what I have to do. I have to talk to Ebenezer. So what does he do? He goes over to Ebenezer's house. But before that, Emmett shows up with where the guy is with the kids. And he's like, hey, I'm a friend of, you know, Reggie's. And Reggie's like, I've never seen this guy before in my life. So Biff's trying to get to his kids, but he doesn't. Meanwhile, Ebenezer Tannen goes to bed. Marty shows up with his hoverboard. Now, this hoverboard, I forgot to mention at the beginning, why he was so upset is because he crashed his hoverboard while he was watching a holographic movie about a dinosaur projected from said hoverboard. So now, of course, he comes in and goes, I'm from the Ghost of Christmas. And Tannen's like, well, which one? Past, present, or future? He goes, all of them. And you need to let the Clara Brown out of your prison and everyone out of your prison. And he's like, I'm going to take you on an adventure. And he flies him on the hoverboard over at the prison. And it doesn't seem to do much work at all. He's like, I'm not going to do anything to help you. Meanwhile, this, you know, maybe it wasn't as good as I thought. I don't know. So the kids find out that kid Reg is like, you know, he gives me a place to live, he gives me a place to stay. All I got to do is pick pockets. No big deal, governor. Meanwhile, Marty brings Ebenezer to this work. He goes, look at this. You're having kids work in a factory on Christmas Eve. He's like, oh my goodness. And he starts crying. He goes, what are you crying? He goes, they're not working hard enough. So it's not working so far. But back at the pickpocketer, I guess they took Doc hostage. And now Reg, the kids, Einstein, they all got Doc to escape. And they went and hid at some woman's house who then, Oh, I see what happens. They hit at some woman's house. She doesn't let them in. Then they see all these footprints, and Doc's like, hi, I'm on the ceiling, because remember those shoes from the ceiling? He knocks them over with barrels of pickles and pickle juice for, you know, reasons. So we jump back to Scrooge, and he is not reformed. He's not, you know, he's not buying into what Marty's saying at all. And then Marty puts the projector on with the big dinosaur. He's like, what is that? He goes, that is what will happen to you if you do not change your ways. And he's like, oh, my goodness, I'm so sorry. He lets everyone out of prison. He starts to, he lets everyone celebrate Christmas. And we find out that the toy maker, then they wanted children. So they end up with the orphan boy that was doing the stealing at the beginning. So there's a happy ending. Tannen shows up with a goose. He's like, I'm going to cook you a Christmas goose. And then he sees Marty. He goes, hey, wait a second. You're not a ghost. You're just a regular guy. So everything that Marty did was then undone. He runs outside to chase for Marty, and he runs into plum pudding. A big pile of plum pudding gets, you know, instead of manure in this one, he gets covered in plum pudding. And everyone's like, that was fun, great. Let's fly back to 1991. And that's what they do. And that's the end of the animated episode. So I'm trying to think, like, why did I like it? I think just because it was Christmassy and they did pull in some Scrooge stuff. It wasn't, you know, like skimming through it now and just re-talking about it. Not the greatest, but still pretty good. So we jump back to the live moment, and we see a hand reach under the DeLorean with sandwiches. I'm thinking, Christopher Lloyd's not in this at all. At least up to this point, we see the DeLorean. We see a hand reaching out to grab some food. And we see a weird transition, like a really not a great segue from the story to the science, because it turns out that he says we actually see Reggie and the toy maker all the time. They spend Christmas with them a lot. They go back in time and see them. It must be weird because they go back and Reggie's a little older and Jules and Vern are the same age. Maybe they tell them at some point about time travel. I don't know. But oh, I just realized Doc went to go dunk a donut into coffee, and he dunked it into motor oil, so he's not going to be doing well. But he's like, Reggie does not steal anymore. You know, it's just, that's not a good thing ever, stealing. You know where you don't see stealing? In physics. Like, you can't steal motion, like perpetual motion. And then we get, like, a pendulum. And then that's how they jump to science, and we jump over to Bill Nye. He did that old trick where, if you take a bowling ball on a giant swinging pendulum, if you let it go, it cannot gather enough energy. It cannot make more energy than what it has. So if you leave your face there, it will not smash you in the face. That'd be funny, like, if they shoved it, but then it would, if you just drop it, like, it'd be funny if they were like, that's not actually true. Let's see. Let's watch Bill Nye break his nose. But nope, he was fine. And then you think, that we're not going to see Christopher Lloyd at all. I mean, we see legs under the car again, but then it goes up, and in the car is Doc Brown. So it's like, wait, how does that work? He says, oh, I'm really stretching myself here. And that doesn't make any sense, because is the bottom of the car missing? How are his feet underneath the car? I don't know. I don't care. I'm angry. And that's the end of the episode. So, and then we see Biff at the end, actual Biff. It seems like Biff is just at the end of these episodes telling little jokes. It was like a Christmas joke. It wasn't great. And that's it. It seems like I was very excited going in. And then the more I talk about it, I'm like, it was, you know, this happened, then this happened. But I'm telling you, it did. It made me, I enjoyed it. And maybe, again, the bar is low, but there was something about it that just made me be like, oh, this was fun. I think just seeing them in the Dickens clothes in that time, Dickensian. I just think they pulled it off considering how the show is. I feel like, oh, wow, they did a pretty good job here. So I guess that's saying a lot. I feel like my voice is very deep. I might have lost some of it while screaming at the basketball game. But I didn't think I was screaming too much, but I guess it was enough. I wish I could keep this voice all year round. Just like I wish I could celebrate Christmas all year round. Round, round and round. Love will find a way, just give it time. I don't know why I'm talking about rat now. Yeah, some people like to celebrate Christmas all year. I'm enjoying celebrating Christmas in Marchy McFly. So I thank you for spending this time with me. I thank the show for giving me this fun little treat. We only have 3 more episodes in the first season. So it is coming to a close, the first half of our animated adventure. And we're only a couple days away from the halfway point of Marchy McFly. I hope you're enjoying yourself so far. I know I am. Even with these shows not being good, it's fun pointing out the weird things and the strange, like, just the things that aren't great. I enjoy that almost as much as I would enjoy talking about something that I love. You know what I mean? It's like fun poking holes at things. So anyway, I'm going to call it a night. I'm going to leave you, but you know me. I'll be back tomorrow, back to do it again. But until then, listen, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, Mastodon.social, and Blue Sky at Geek Mentality. The website is fansnotexperts.com, and the YouTube page is fansnotexperts. What? Fansnotexperts. Follow us on YouTube or just subscribe. You know, just hit subscribe. It's free. It can't hurt. I mean, maybe, please. All right, that's it. I'm not going to bother you or bore you anymore with this fun, exciting podcast that changed your life. But I will do it again tomorrow, so I hope you show up. Damn it, I'll be here. Merry Christmas, everybody, and here is my theme song.
This is my podcast. I made it. Geek Mentality's what I named it. And I think you should listen and subscribe. Cause I'm kinda funny and awesome. I think that I'm worth your time. And I'm kinda handsome. My mom says, please listen and please subscribe. At least listen to this episode.
Fans Not Experts.